The Lord be with you.
And
it is good to have all of you in the Lord's house this day as we gather together before the Lord and his gifts. Today we welcome Dr. Jeff Pulse from Concordia Theological Seminary. He's here to teach the class this week on the Joseph narratives in Genesis. And so we've invited him to preach for us today. And again, the seminary class is this week, Monday through Friday, various events and things going on. And so we pray for your prayers that our brains stay inside of our heads as all of it's poured in. Good to see everyone. We're still doing the mass thing and everybody's behaving fairly well. And we're all spread out kind of like we're supposed to be. So this is good. We continue to do those things. Again, if you need a break, take it off during the sermon. Get some fresh air when you're not talking or singing. Oh, singing. We're singing today. John did such a fabulous job practicing the other day that we're going to hear what he's playing, and we're going to sing along with him. And next week, we'll see what happens, but I don't know. I'm not going to come and stuff a rag in your mouth if you start singing. So, yeah, enough of that. Service is before you. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding, and reveal them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our texts for this morning are the texts of Zechariah and the text of Romans, both the Old Testament, the epistle that you heard read earlier. Fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus. I'm a farm boy from Iowa. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, 15 miles out in the country. From Winterset, Iowa, where I went to school in Winterset. And I'm also the oldest of four children. Now, when you grow up on a farm, you're the oldest. You know what that means? You get to do all the chores. And one of those chores I was assigned was taking care of the chickens. You know, feeding the chickens, gathering the eggs. And you know, it's really not that tough a job overall. Not so bad, till the day my parents brought home the rooster. It's one of them big multicolored jobs, you know, it stood. I mean, he was big, and he was mean. Had those sharp spurs, you know, on the feet and the sharp beak, and he hated people in general. Hated me in particular because, of course, I'm the guy gathering the eggs. Well, I was 10, 11 years old at the time, and that rooster, he seemed like he was as big as me. And every time I'd come into that chicken house every day to get those eggs, he would come, he'd be waiting, he'd attack me, he'd come after me, he'd come running across the chicken house at me, and I would meet him with my foot, and I'd kick him clear back, and he'd bounce off the wall, and he'd shake his head like this, and he'd do it again. He'd just go on two or three times every time until he was so dazed I could get those eggs and get out. Now, This went on for a while, but the rooster got smarter. I came into that hen house one day, and I'm looking around, you know. There's no rooster. I walk in. He was behind the door, and here we go. We're kicking it. Just, well, naturally, I complained to my parents. The rooster you brought home is trying to kill me. And you know what they said? You're just trying to get out of doing the chicken chores. So the battle continued until the day my mother decided to gather the eggs. Remember that day so well. I watched as my mother walked into the chicken house, and I thought to myself, this ought to be good. Then I watched as my mother stomped out of the chicken house, and I thought to myself, the rooster has just made a big mistake. Now, my mother is 5'1" tall, and when they coined the phrase, dynamite comes in small packages, they were talking about her. She came out of that chicken house with a look in her eye that I've only seen once before. And we're not going to talk about that. That's probably not. She came out of that chicken house, and she went straight to the garage. And she came out of the garage with a hatchet. And she headed for the chicken house. I thought to myself, things aren't looking good for the rooster. She walked into that chicken house. Next thing I know, she comes out, and she's got the rooster by the feet, and he's flopping all over. And then I watch this horror story unravel here. She flaps his head on a block of wood, and whack! Cuts off his head. Now, you would think that'd be the end of it. Oh, no. The rooster goes crazy. He's running all over, bouncing off the white outbuildings. He's blood everywhere. I was traumatized. I'm still in counseling. And all I could think about the whole time, the rooster is looking for his head, and he can't find it. I suspect that many of you perhaps could tell us similar stories about the antics of a chicken or a rooster with its head cut off. But I'd submit to you here this morning that really, every one of you, each and every one of you, each and every day, we all witness this event taking place. We look around us and we see our world running around like a chicken with its head cut off. I mean, just look. Wars and rumors of war, disasters, man-made and natural. Look at acts of terrorism, racism, confrontations out there. See the poverty, the hunger, the disease. And then consider the bizarre ways that our world goes about dealing with it. How's it going? Are things getting better? Got it all figured out now? Oh no, the world's here, then it's there. It's running that way, then this way. What we're witnessing, people, is the world running around because it doesn't have a head. But even Christians, that's what Paul is talking about in Romans, even Christians struggle in dealing with this, they're confused by how do you live your life as a child of God, as the people of God. You know, Paul, what'd he say? I don't understand my own actions. That which I want to do, don't do it. But I do the very thing I hate. Simul Justus. Epicater, same time saint and sinner. And who will deliver us from this wretched body of death? Well, who's going to be our head? Paul in Colossians says, and he's speaking of Jesus, he is the head of the body, the church. Now, you know very well that when God created this world, Christ was the head of all creation. But you also know that man wasn't all that satisfied with that relationship, was he? In fact, man from the very beginning wanted to be like God, wanted to be God, wanted to be his own head. And when man brought sin into this perfect creation, he cut off its head. Sin separates God from his creation, separates God from man, and everything goes crazy. And what happens when you cut off the head? It's not a trick question. You die. Even for those of you who do not consider science as your spiritual gift, you can tell me what happens when you remove the head. You die. And that's the verdict. That's where our world and the people in it are headed. Death. Unless something is done to reattach the head. Unless something is done to reunite man with his Creator, with our God. Because if something's not done, death. But here's the problem. Man does want to reattach the head. Sure. And man tries and has tried and tried and tried, still trying. Throw money at it, invent a social program, tolerate everything, condemn nothing. Have you noticed the approach our world uses, their philosophy? Kind of a hit and miss philosophy. Throw everything at it, maybe something will stick. You know, even the church falls into that trap now and again, doesn't they? Yeah. Well, I can assure you with all certainty that that rooster never found his head. And neither will we. Neither will man. But something has to be done. Something has to be done. We are headed for death, eternal and everlasting death. Something has to be done, and by someone other than us. And this is where God and his promises come in. Our text, Zechariah, from the Old Testament, Zechariah is prophesying the promise. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you righteous and having salvation as he, humble and riding on a donkey. Note, the king comes to us. We cannot go to him, but he does come to us. Christ Jesus comes to us righteous and having salvation. He comes to us to rescue, redeem, and restore us in our relationship, to reattach the head. God sends his only begotten Son into our world to take the burden of our sins upon himself, to carry him to the cross at Calvary. God sends his Son to be that perfect, righteous blood sacrifice. And it's Jesus Christ who has then conquered sin, death, and Satan and assumed his proper role as the head of all creation. Now I know, boy, we all know, and we all see that the world is still running around like a chicken with its head cut off. We see these confused efforts and befuddled attempts at restoration that man tries to pull off. we see the befuddled mess man makes out of the whole thing. And you know, we can stand here and all day and list the examples, couldn't we? We could whine, we could worry, we could pontificate, or we could get to work. Preaching, teaching, administering the sacraments, living out our lives and our baptismal identity as the children of God. Because there's a fact, you know this, this is something you all understand very well without a doubt. Our world still refuses to acknowledge Christ as its head. So where do we see Christ as head? The church. Yeah, the church. We shine Christ from our pulpits, from our fonts, from our altars. We shine Christ out into our communities, even into our world. There's only one head, my friends. Jesus Christ, the one who has come and who has promised that he will come again. And in him alone, there is life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.